Producer Seth Radetzky is here to talk about his new play, Unbroken Circle, and give us his spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Seth.
Hello.
Tell us about your new play, Unbroken Circle.
You know, I'm the Broadway host on Sirius XM Radio, and mainly, obviously, I talk about Broadway stuff, but I'm a big supporter of off-Broadway. I'm also a big supporter of my husband. So my husband, James, wrote this play. We each wrote two plays, and we kind of did them in rep over the month of March. We rented a theater for a month. We each put up two plays. And within, like, 1 minute, investors began stepping forward and offering money to produce his play, not mine. But the point is, they all said that they would give money if the play transferred to off-Broadway, and, like, a couple weeks later, we got all the money together, and now we're running off-Broadway, and the show is essentially family, I guess I'd say drama, about multi-generational sexual abuse, which sounds crazy heavy, but it's very funny. It's, I guess, very dark comedy. There's a lot of comedy in it, and then it gets very heavy, and then it's very hopeful. That's how I describe it. Hilarious, heavy, hopeful. And it takes place in 1970 in Galveston, Texas.
What was your inspiration for producing this work?
Well, James wrote this play because when he was growing up, there was a picture of his grandmother that he always saw when she was 12 years old. It was one of those family portraits from the early 1900s, and everyone's very blank-faced, but she has this very almost wide-eyed, haunted look. It's a very odd face, and he was always, like, riveted by her face in the photo, and he found out many years later that actually she was being sexually abused by her stepfather for years, and she actually gave birth to three children because of the abuse, and one of the children was his grandfather. And he found this out when he was a teenager, and he was always obsessed with that as sort of an artist, just in the way of saying, you know, like, what happened before the photo was taken, what happened after the photo was taken, what was her life like every night at dinner, and he always would think about that, and that sort of led to this play, how does a family deal with sexual abuse, and he really, I think, wrote it to help other people go through it. I mean, that's what we really seem to find, is that after the show, a lot of people come up to us and say, they were either victims or they know people that were, and to sort of essentially give them hope. The whole point of the show is to talk about it. That's why it's called Unbroken Circle, that when it's never spoken of and when there's all this shame, the circle never breaks and it goes on for generations and generations. And it's important for people to talk about it, and then eventually the circle can be unbroken. So I think he wrote it, and I'm producing it to be artistic and also to give people some kind of hope.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the play? You know, I understand your daughter's in the play.
Yeah, James wrote this show. He's the only man in it. He's a little narcissistic. He wrote it for himself to be the only guy in it, and he's surrounded by a lot of very strong women. So he plays the son of this very strong woman whose name is Ruby, and he has a twin sister played by Nico Larson, who's done a lot of my favorite Broadway musicals, including Xanadu and Rent. And then he has a daughter. He actually wrote the role for our kid, for Julie, a 12-year-old daughter. She's, like, about to age out of the role. And he has actually two daughters. One of them is played by Julie. And he has this very sassy aunt named Aunt June, who's played by Eve Plum, who, of course, most people know as Jan Brady on The Brady Bunch. But she's no longer 12 years old. She herself is now in her 50s. We saw Eve Plum in this comedy show, Benefit, and she was so hilarious. And after the show, I said to James, I said, she'd be really right to play Aunt June, who's this kind of born-again Christian who goes to Oral Roberts University, and she's kind of a secret alcoholic. And I said, I really think Eve has the comedy chops to do this part, and I don't think people even realize she does. And she did a reading of it, and she was hilarious. So she's been playing the role since the very first reading. So anyway, the cast is, it's all women and James, and it's really great to have Eve Plum in the show because James grew up completely obsessed with the Brady Bunch, and it's like really a dream come true to actually have written this role for, you know, one of his childhood idols.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
Oh, that's a very big issue for me. I mean, ever since I was a kid. You know, essentially, I'm on the radio every day on Sirius XM, and I'm a combination of either flat-out telling people, even though it's, you know, really about Broadway music, I still will be political, and I'll be like, call your senators today because the vote on ENDA is happening. So I'll either be very overtly political, or what I also get from a lot of people, I get a lot of letters saying, you know, I live in Alabama, I live wherever, and hearing you talk about your husband and your kid so matter-of-factly, I think it's so wonderful because you're really showing America what it is to be a gay person and what it's like to live that life. And, you know, it's the whole Harvey Milk theory that people can't really be against someone that they know and like. That it's easy to be against gay people if you think, oh, it's these freaks I don't know anything about. But to know that when you're voting against gay rights, you're voting against, let's say, me, this radio host that you like that has a kid that he's just trying to get, you know, his kid is dyslexic, he's just trying to get her into a good school, it, I think, really demystifies gayness. So I feel I'm a combination of very political and also just very matter-of-fact to help America see what it's like to be an adult gay man who's married with a kid.
What would you like to see the Obama administration accomplish for LGBT community in the next 4 years?
Hi, you know, I have such mixed feelings. I was in a real rage after he was elected and he didn't say anything about Proposition 8. I mean, I really was infuriated. And I said to James, I was like, I will not vote for him again. It just infuriated me that Prop 8 happened the same night he was elected and he didn't say this is an incredible shame, especially because the research shows that it was a lot of black churches in California that was voting against gay rights, and I felt he had a very powerful voice with the black community, and I feel he really could have said something. So I was enraged. And I would get enraged when I read about Michelle Obama saying, my husband this, my husband that. And I was like, why are you allowed to say my husband this, my husband that, and you and your husband are not allowing me to get married? So I had a lot of anger. So of course, naturally, I was happy when he finally did come out for gay marriage. It was very, very moving. And I'm obviously much more for him now. And, you know, obviously gay rights aren't my only important issue at all. I'm just really pretty much a flat-out liberal. So anyway, what I would like to see in terms of those specific rights, of course, I wanted to see him sign ENDA. I want to see him essentially really campaign hard to make sure that gay marriage is federally allowed. It's ludicrous that it's not. It is literally ludicrous. You know, either cut all government benefits to marriage or let everyone get married. But you cannot say for religious reasons you can't get married and then yet people are getting... That's like me getting government benefits for being bar mitzvahed. If it's a religious thing, then don't give them federal benefits. You know, it just makes me crazy. So hopefully he will keep campaigning to make it, you know, allowed, federally allowed to get married. That's my biggest thing. And federal marriage.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
You know, I just had Dan Savage on my show, on my radio show on SiriusXM, and, you know, he started that whole It Gets Better campaign, and boy, does that make a difference, because it is really easy to think that your whole life is the way it's going to be in high school, and high school is an incredibly inflated version of everything. You know, when people are mean in real life, it's never as mean as they are in high school. And just for people to realize that school is finite, for kids to know school is finite, it will end, and then they'll be living their life, and they can do whatever they want with their life. That when they're kids, it is true, you're trapped. You have to pretty much live with your parents, you have to go to the school, you're trapped. But if you can just hang in there, you can live whatever life you want. And that's exactly what I did. I literally had a chart on my wall where I would mark off the amount of days before the end of the school year, and I would cross out, like I was in prison, I crossed out the days, and I knew that eventually, when I got to a certain age, I'd be able to live the life I wanted to live. So if kids can just know, I'm not saying it's not horrible, it is horrible, but it will end, and you can live whatever life you want, but you've got to survive school somehow, whether that means being out or not being out. I mean, for some kids, it's safer to not be out at all, but after that, you'll be able to live your life. So really, my advice is just hang in there. It really will get much better when you get out of that prison called school.
How can people get information about Unbroken Circle?
We are all over the place. We have a Twitter account, but we're missing an E. We're Unbroken Circle. So we're at Unbroken Circle, but there's no E in Unbroken. Or you can just follow me. I'm at Seth Drudetsky. You can also go to our website, which is also, it's not unbrokencircle.com, because I think that's like a porn site, maybe. Anyway, we're unbrokencirclethplay.com. But if you just Google my name, Seth Drudetsky, if you can, I dare you to spell it, or Unbroken Circle, you'll find plenty of information. We're playing Wednesdays off-Broadway, and so far the feedback has been amazing.
What other projects are you working on?
What projects am I working on? I definitely have something called Adult ADD, and it's no joke. I really keep myself extremely busy, or else it's hard for me to kind of do anything, unless I have a lot of projects. Essentially, I have, speaking of gay youth, I have a young adult series about a gay kid in high school. It's through Random House, and my first book came out last year called My Awesome Awful Popularity Plan, and it's about a gay kid who's trying to date the football player, and he dates a girl who's dating the football player to try to get to the football player, and it becomes this whole kind of farce. So My Awesome Awful Popularity Plan came out last year, then I did an audiobook of it with Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Megan Hilty, and now the sequel is coming out next year, and that takes place with him in New York City, and he meets an older gay guy and comes his mentor, and anyway, I won't want to ruin it. But anyway, I'm working on the sequel to My Awesome Awful Popularity Plan. I have a Broadway series in Provincetown every summer. I'll be there every single week at the Art House in Provincetown with Cheetah Rivera and Sutton Foster and Megan Mullally and Patti LuPone. I'm going to London with Patti LuPone in 2 weeks to do a show with her. I do these cruises. I do one called the Broadway Cruise, which leaves in July with Audra McDonald. I do something called the Playbill Cruise, which leaves in August. And I also wrote this musical called Disaster, which is based on 1970s disaster movies, and we ran last year for a very limited time. We got this great New York Times review, thank God, and now we're planning on opening off-Broadway in the fall. So I've got a lot of little projects going on that keep me busy.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
First of all, just on a side note, I'm very much, like I was talking before, for gay rights, especially for kids. My other really big issue is animal rights, and please go to a shelter and rescue an animal. These perfectly beautiful dogs and cats, healthy, healthy, beautiful animals are killed every single day simply because people don't want them. Second thing I'd say is that Unbroken Circle is this play, and every time I say it's about generational sex abuse, people are like, oh my God, I don't have the energy to watch something depressing. It's a really funny play, and it's not just me saying that. It was so lovely to be. I went to the first preview last week, and when we first did the show, it was this tiny theater, and I mean tiny, it was like 20 seats, and the audience was right next to the stage, and it was still fabulous, but doing it at this big off-Broadway theater with all these people there, the laughs are so enormous. So it's lovely to have this show that I feel has a very serious message about being open about sexual abuse and how there really is hope if you've been abused, and yet be a funny play. So I guess I hope people would know that this play is also hilarious as well as being moving, and please God, go see Unbroken Circle.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
My friend Jack Plotnick is a producer on Unbroken Circle, but he's also a great acting teacher, and he has this website. It's just his name, jackplotnick.com. And his whole theory is that when you feel very stressed about something, you always have a negative voice saying the opposite. Like, if you have a big audition, let's say, and you're like, oh my God, I want to get this job, you have a negative voice saying, you're not going to get it, you're not talented. And they go, no, I am talented. No, you're not. And you have this big argument with yourself. His theory is to just let it go, and you say to yourself, I release my need to, and then whatever it is. I really need to get this job. And for me, what it really helps is, let's say I was doing this play off Broadway, which actually was about being a gay kid in high school. It was a biographical play that I wrote called Rhapsody in Seth. And when the New York Times came, I was so freaked out, but I said to myself, I release my need to get a good review. I release my need to get laughs tonight. I just fill in the blank, and it just relieves you, and you don't argue with yourself. You don't go like, no, you will get laughs, no, you won't. You just go, I release my need. And then it completely relaxes you. So that's really what I do when I'm completely stressed out. Like, I release my need that Unbroken Circles can win the Pulitzer Prize, when meanwhile, I really wanted to win the Pulitzer Prize, but I released my need so I don't feel stressed about it.